Learn how to build your faith on God's word and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time. As you listen to the senior pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's word to work for you.
Hallelujah. All through this month, we've been focusing on soul winning. Listen, as a believer, soul winning is a core part of your Christian experience. If you have never been opportuned to lead somebody to Christ, you are missing out on a major part of your Christian experience. Bringing people to the Lord is one of the major reasons God leaves us on the earth. If not, from the day you give your life to Christ, He can take you to heaven that same day. But leaving you here is because He needs you to reach more people. So winning souls, preaching the gospel, leading other people to Christ is a core part of your Christian experience. In fact, it is one of the marks that shows that you are a true believer. If you don't have a desire to share the gospel, you need to go and check if you are truly saved. Because one of the first things that happens to someone that encounters the Lord is that they want to tell other people about it. That's just how it works. One of the true signs that you have gotten a genuine Christian experience is that automatically you want to tell people about Jesus. It just comes automatically. You want to tell people about Jesus Christ. So if you're here and you've not participated so far in the Soul Carnival, you can still find a way to participate. Every single act or act of kindness can be an opportunity to draw somebody to God. See, after I became saved, like I was saying last week, you need to find out the why. You need to find out the why you do what you do. After I became saved, my why of wanting to do some things changed. Before, I just wanted to do the things because, hey, I wanted to, you know, enjoy life. You know, I wanted to dress well to enjoy life. I wanted to drive a good car to enjoy life. After I became born again, my why changed. Now, I want to drive a good car so that I can witness to somebody. I want to drive a good car now so that I can inspire someone to know that serving the Lord doesn't mean you'll be a dry person. I guess what I'm saying? It's part of why our church is structured with fun in mind. Because when I was not born again, I saw Christianity as a very boring thing. So when I became born again, one of the decisions I made was that I was going to make Christianity look like fun. Because that's why some people are not attracted to it. Just feel, if I get born again, I'll be boring. No, Christianity is fun. It's people that try to use their personality to mix in scripture. Jesus was a fun person. He attended weddings. He hung out with people. I guess what I'm saying, guys. So my why has changed. I wanted to ride a power bike in school, not just because I liked bikes, but I knew it would inspire someone to understand that you can be Christian and still live a good life. So my why has changed. My why has changed. It's part of why I do personalized number plates. I never put my name, my name is not important, but I put a scriptural principle in there. That's how I always do. Because there's a concept to it. My power bike, when I had a power bike, the number plate was John 3:3. That was the number plate, John 3:3. And one guy told me some years after that he saw my bike, and the bike, if you see the bike, you understand. It's a bad bike. My why has changed in life. I don't like ordinary things anymore. I like things that are special because it'll be an opportunity to preach the gospel. For me, that's how I see it. It'll be an icebreaker. The guy said he saw the bike, and he saw that scripture, John 3:3, and he opened the Bible and checked what it was, and by reading that scripture, he gave his life to Christ. True testimony. True testimony. That's what the scripture says, that except you give your life to Christ, you know, except man is born again, he cannot see. I'm telling you. So that's how I think. My why has now changed. Now, I still want to do some of those great things I want to do, but the why has changed. That was what we talked last week. If you just want to live in this life and eat a good life and have a big stomach, that's what you want to do. That's why you're working hard. Yeah. The Bible said both the food and the belly, all of them will be destroyed. It will make sense after a while. So put, what is your why? It must be to draw people to God. It must be to inspire people about God. You must remember that you are a representative. You are an ambassador of Christ. So that should be your inspiration. That's why I want to do what I want to do. Hallelujah. My why has changed. When people of the world, maybe if they buy a fine car, when they do personalized plates, they put their name, they put something. All of a sudden, I'll put scripture. It's an opportunity to advertise. I see everything in the light of doing it for God. That's how I see everything I do. It must be a way to connect back to God. It must be a sign. It must be a pointer to how good God is. You must strive to be great in your career. Why? So that one day you can inspire someone. When you are the CEO, or when you are the MD, or when you are a top performer in your business or in your office, you can inspire the people that, because they will ask you, how do you do it? Do you understand? See, I mean, when I was in university, high institution, you know, I'll wear fine clothes and all that, polo ruff and all that. And some of those worldly guys come and say, man, this your shirt is too bad, man. I'll say, do you like it? He'll say, yes. I'll say, come and take it this afternoon after class. They won't believe it. I mean, polo, some of you that are young, you don't know what polo ruff, Lauren, it's fine. But in our, yes, now young people don't know that. But in our own time, if you wear polo ruff, Lauren, it's design is heavy. I mean, you're a bad guy, you're a bad dude. So they'll come and say, wow, man, this your shirt is too bad. I say, you like it? They say, yeah. I say, come and take it. After class. And truly, they'll come after class, I'll pull the shirt and give them. They won't believe it because to them, worldly things is everything. Life starts and ends from possession. But for us as believers, the Bible says a man's life doesn't consist of the things he possesses. We're never moved by possessions. Many times, I wear a very fine watch. Somebody will come and say, man, I love this, your watch. I say, do you like it? They say, yes. I say, okay. I just take it up. Don't try it today. Amen. Do not try it. I will punch you. It's a punch you will get. But I've done it more than once. Do you like it? I like watches. It's not that I don't like watches. But you see, I've discovered now that my why has changed. If you don't change your why, you will never get fulfillment. Now, you can accumulate as many material things as you like. You can gain many progress in your career as you like. If you don't have a good why, it will never bring fulfillment. You keep striving and striving, acquiring and acquiring, but your life will still be empty. It is the why that makes the difference. So we did all this last Sunday. Why do I want to be rich? I want to be rich because I can finance the gospel. I want to be rich because I can buy people cars. I can bless people. I think in the past 12 months, I must have bought at least about 4 cars for people in the past 12 months. That's why I want to be rich. You know, when I some people form contentment, they say, you know, we don't need so much in this life, just a little. Those are selfish people. Because they are thinking of, you know, why they are saying that is because they are thinking of what they will eat. Say, what do we need? Just a little food, just a little. No, that's not what I want. I want to be a mega millionaire. Why? Because I can use it to be a blessing to people. I can pay people school fees. If you pay somebody school fees, he will follow you to anywhere you want him to follow you to. I've discovered that people are very loyal to money. You'll be amazed how people are loyal to money. Those of you that give tip, you know, you go somewhere, they salute you, or they greet you, or they open the door for you, and you give tip. Don't be wasting those tip. When you give tip once, twice to somebody, collect his number. When you tell him that, I want you to come to church meetings, he will come. He will come. You are a source of income for him. He will come. I guess what I'm saying? He won't play with you. He will come. That is my why. That is my why. Where above my hair. You know, I just traveled. I just came back. So I had some money in my pocket. You know, I had $100 or so left from the trip that I didn't spend. So one of the guys already comes to church. But the other two guys that barbed there don't come to church. So after they barbed my hair and they all knew I traveled, they said, oh, God, waiting for you, no, welcome, all this kind of thing. I just brought out $100. Some of them should share it. They were happy. But one of them was saying that it won't work again for the rest of the week, you know. That's a very fat tip. But trust me, I'm not a fool. No. I might have been born on a Sunday, but not this Sunday. I'm not a fool at all. That is an investment. It's an investment. The day after I give you such a tip, I will tell you to come to church. You will not come. I will beat you. And I will collect my money back. There is a why to everything I do. I'm not a fool. I'm a wise master builder. I'm a wise harvester. That's how you must be. There must be a why. You want to succeed for yourself to be great. So what? There are people that have been greater than you. That your greatness, that your success must be leading somewhere. If it's not leading to an eternal value, it's a waste of time. You can't be, no matter how much you succeed, people will still succeed more after you. And it even matter if you are successful for yourself, who cares until it affects a life eternally? Not just materially or eternally, it must affect them eternally. If it doesn't affect them, I'm telling you, of what purpose is it? That's why I want to succeed. That's why I want to be great. That's why I want to drive a great car. Apart from enjoying the drive, I want to use it to... Yeah, I mean, there are some kind of car you drive. If you stop and pick somebody and say, I'm taking you to church, you say, carry me anywhere. Anywhere you think you need to take me. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting this? You must always be mindful of it. You must always be mindful of it. Why? So the why, for me, my why has changed. I want to live a great life, but there's a why to it. Hallelujah. It must inspire. It must inspire. That is where I get fulfillment from now. The fact that somebody is inspired. Somebody is inspired. Somebody, I mean, you know, one of the reasons why I want to succeed is to help our young people realize that you can be legit and be rich. You can break limits without breaking rules. Are you here, somebody? It means a lot because most of them now are into 419. Because they think there's no way in this country, the way things are tough, there's no way to make it well and be rich and be great in this country. We owe them a responsibility to show them that it's possible to be legit and still be rich. Somebody getting this? So don't listen to a Christian that is telling you, we don't need so much money. What do we need? Just more money. Really? As in really, really? How many millions have you given to the kingdom of God? How much have you given to the kingdom of God? How much have you given? I told you last week that somebody gave $300 million to his church. $300 million. They opened an office for that money because there's nowhere to put that kind of money. They opened a trust fund for it, opened an office, hired staff to manage the money. $300 million. Hallelujah. So that's why. My dream is that one day we'll do a free school. And this school, it will not be for everybody still. It will be for the most brilliant people in places where they can't afford it. And it will be a high-class school. In fact, my plan is to get some foreign teachers in that school. It will be a high-class school because I'll partner with people abroad. You know, foreigners, those white people, they like missionary work already. So there are a lot of them looking for how to bless the kingdom. I'll hire them. And it will only be in Nigeria. It will be some of those countries like Rwanda and some other places where they've had, you know, serious issues. And it will be in neighborhoods that they can't afford it. And we'll pay all the bills. We'll pay all the staff. We'll pay everything. Hallelujah. All free. That's why I want to be rich. To finance such a thing, you'll be a mega millionaire. So they say, I don't need so much money. Are you kidding me? That's why as a believer, if you're not paying tithe, you're not giving, then you don't even understand. God needs you wealthy. And for you to be wealthy, you need to be operating these financial principles now. So this is your small 1 million salary or 1 million profit. You can't tithe inside it. Then how will God, how will you make 100 million? You can't pay tithe now of small money. In your mind, you think somebody's eating your tithe. You need to get delivered from greed. You need to get delivered from fear. Because that's, I mean, if somebody doesn't pay tithe, it's based on those two things. You are afraid. Your money is never enough. You are greedy. That's greed. No amount they give you that will be enough. Hallelujah. So soul winning. Soul winning is the responsibility of every believer. It's not a pastor's job. My job actually is to prepare you to win souls. Everybody that works in my office is born again. And I check from time to time. But everybody in my office, they are born again. But you see, everybody in your office are not born again. So you are the one that will win souls. Somebody getting this? I work in the church office. So everybody's born again. They are all workers in church. I check. Are you a worker in our church? Yes. Okay, good. They are in departments. But in your office, you still have unbelievers around you. So you need to reach out to them. You need to win them. Your megad, your house help, your cleaner. All those people, you have area of influence. They will listen to you. Some of them are just waiting. A pastor friend of mine is even here in the service, Pastor Godfrey Marizo, all the way from Abuja. Let's appreciate him. Bless you, man of God. Thank you. He's a great servant of God. We've been friends for many years, and he's also into missions. So he's supposed to travel to Rwanda sometime this week for mission work. So the hotel I put him in near my house, you know, while he was just chilling, some of the attendants there, he led one to Christ, and the guy spoke to me on the phone. The guy is coming to church this Sunday. He just lodging there, but he just preached. All those people that serve you, your driver, all those people, you have area of influence over them. Salary or tip is not the thing they need. You need their eternal life, their eternal value is important. You need to draw them to Christ. If you speak to them, they can listen to you. See, many people are just waiting for somebody to point them in the right direction. Don't think that they won't listen. Don't think they won't hear. That's not your business, not to decide what they do with information or not. Your own is to obey God and speak. God will use what you are saying. You might not have the perfect words. Nobody has the perfect words. It's the anointing on the words. It's God anointing those words to touch the person's heart. It's the Spirit of God that converts people, not actually your English. It's not how many scriptures you quote. How many times did Jesus preach with scripture? Most time he preached with stories. So you don't have to know many scriptures. Like they said, anytime you're trying to preach somebody and they're trying to argue scripture doctrine with you, leave that person. He's not ready yet. But look for the guy that needs to hear. There are people that are hungry for the gospel. Don't allow the person that is not hungry for it stop you from preaching to the people that are hungry for it. Somebody needs to hear the gospel from you. Maybe you are the only one ordained to speak to that person in a way they will understand. That's what the Bible says, go into all the world. What it said is that go into your own world. If you're a doctor, talk to your doctor friends. If you're a lawyer, talk to your lawyer friends. You guys have a lot of basis of discussion, a lot of things in common. If you're single, talk to your people. If you're married, talk to your people. If you're a mother, talk to your people. Hallelujah. And every act of kindness. Throughout this month, I really want to appreciate all the ministers and leaders and family members and all the members. Everybody that has been winning. I've been getting so much good reports. I've been seeing pictures of the outing. In fact, I spoke to somebody on Wednesday service. He said that he came on Sunday and he came on Wednesday, that they preached to him during this whole carnival and he has been coming. He didn't even plan to come for midweek, but somebody called him. The person that preached him called him and said, hope he will be in church. That they've been following him up and, you know, met him on Wednesday for the first time. So he's really working. People are actually coming. So preach to people. Join in this soul carnival. It's still on. Join in it. Hallelujah. In September, we're having a comedy show. It's part of the soul carnival thing. So you're supposed to bring any of your unbeliever friends for that comedy show. It's a comedy show, and it's free of charge. You're not paying. But you're supposed to bring your unbeliever friends. So in the midst of the comedy, we're going to preach to them. So please bring them. It's going to hold on Saturday. We're doing it on Saturday because we wanted to bring them to church on Sunday. So it's going to hold on Saturday, the 9th of September. So after the comedy on Sunday, when they get saved, you bring them to church the next day. All right? Very important. We'll have a cappella, Jebob, Bobuchi, Short Family, and a few of the Bash. Some of those guys, they'll be here. So it's part of it. Christianity can be fun. Hallelujah. So use every act of kindness. I also spoke to somebody again on Wednesday. He's a worker in church now. And he was saying that, how did they come to DCC? That his wife wanted to buy something across this express road. So she parked her car somewhere around here and walked across and bought something. And then when she was going home, the two, husband and wife, workers in church, were also crossing the road. And they saw that she was carrying many things. They didn't know her from here. And they helped her with the bags. And when they helped her with the bags, when they crossed the road, they found out that, they said, where are you taking these things? She said, her car is somewhere. They went ahead and also helped her with the things to her car. And that was how she now asked them which church they attend. They shared DCC. And today, she and her own husband and her whole family, they attend the church now. They are workers in church. Now, you see, preaching the gospel is not always about coming to say, give your life to Jesus Christ. Every time you run into somebody, be kind, because that is a seed. It's not only about opening Bible and say John 3:16. That's not preaching the gospel. Just that act of kindness, being kind to people. Being kind to random people that you don't even know if you ever meet them again. Be kind to them. Very important. Be kind to them. Hallelujah. Very important. Be kind to them. All those random acts of kindness will open the door. One day the person will ask you, why do you do what you do? The person will ask you, why are you this nice? Sometimes I leave my change for people. They say, I can't find change. 500 naira, I say, you can keep it. They'll be smiling. Because we'll meet again. You don't take my 500. I'm Chinese. I'm from Chinese movie. You know Chinese movie, it doesn't matter how many years you offended them. You killed my mother. Doesn't matter how many. I'll be back. Say, you. You took my change. Come to church. All those random acts of kindness will open the door for the gospel. So when you see an old woman carrying a bag, help them. When you see somebody carrying something they can't help them. Drop people sometimes, you know, if they look normal. Don't drop somebody that will rob you. Look at them well. Say, can he beat me if he comes to fight? Let's read Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. So smile, learn to be friendly, because that will open the door to help you invite the person to church. There must be a why to everything we do. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in what? Jerusalem, and in what? All Judea, and in what? And in Samaria, and what? The uttermost part of the earth. This is what God wants to every believer, that you be a witness wherever you are. He said some people will start, you know, in Jerusalem, says, and in what? Judea, and in what? Samaria, and in what? The uttermost. What are they saying? They are saying different areas of influence. But your Jerusalem is actually where you are. And that is your family. Your Jerusalem starts from your family. Before you start going to your neighborhood, Judea, to your city, Samaria, then to the uttermost what? Part of the earth. So before you can even go to the uttermost part of the earth, you have to start from your Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem represents your family. If you are here and you are not born again, you know, when I see people that are born again Christians wanting to marry someone that is not a born again Christian, it means your own salvation is even in question. You don't even understand what we're saying. When you are saved, when you've actually moved from death to life, when you have moved from being somebody hell-bound to being heaven-bound, you are not going to go back into darkness. You're not going to go back and enter a covenant with darkness. So, it starts from your family life. That's your Jerusalem, your family. So, marry right. If you're a believer, marry another believer. You cannot marry an unbeliever. That means you don't value salvation. You marry another believer. That's what the Bible says. Say, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Because marriage is a yoke. It yokes two people together. He said it will be an unequal yoke if a believer marries an unbeliever. He says the same thing as if light and darkness want to come together. He said it's not going to be easy. If righteousness and unrighteousness want to live together. Don't say, oh, pastor, but he's nice. No, you see, niceness is not the same thing as being born again. Niceness doesn't take anybody to heaven. Okay, I don't have time for all that today. Second thing, your children. Now, I know some of you are single. You're saying, oh, I don't really need to hear about children. Please, let me just warn you ahead. Keep, anytime they are teaching or talking about parenting, be listening in advance before you marry. These things happen very fast. We're abroad, and my six-year-old daughter went to visit one family, and they had a son that is 8 years old. From when my daughter saw the boy, she became confused. These things happen fast. I said, oh God, it's going to happen soon. I was sinning to be counseling my daughter. I said, no, we don't do like that. You do not do that. Don't wave to him until he waves to you. Very important. You will soon start having to address it, guys. And it will happen without warning. She was just running up and down him. I said, no. Let him go and call his parents. They have to bring wine to my house. You can't just run up. No. You are never prepared for these things, guys. You're never prepared for it. I mean, three boys just came to meet me as I was parked there. Three boys. They came to meet me and they say, where is Davida? Davida is my second daughter. So where is Davida? I say, go and tell your father to give you bank statements. Bring your bank statements before you come. Three of them together. The three came. I don't want to mention their names because their parents are here. Say, where is Davida? I say, for where? Go and tell your father bring their bank statement. Then we'll start choosing from there. The point is that it's going to happen when you're not going to expect it. And you know, children of nowadays, they are growing faster than us. In our own time, you have to be like 35 before you can tell your father that there's one girl. As in your own beard, but don't be like stadium, you know. You don't old very well before you can have the courage to tell your father that you are thinking of settling down. 35, your father can say, well, I think... But today, these children of nowadays, from 10 years old, they are talking about love. Or less. They already know what it means that somebody likes somebody and somebody's in love with them at this young age, you know. So nobody's going to prepare you for it. You have to start preparing yourself. You have to start learning about parenting. So there are a few things I'll rush them quickly. Because statistically, it is better and easier for people to get born again when they are younger. The older people get, statistically, the more difficult it is. So actually, we should target young people from day one. So that's why in church now, we do a lot of that in our children's church. We have teens church. We'll soon start a youth church. Because a lot of us here now are getting to 40 and above. You are not youth again. I understand in Nigeria, at 80, you can be youth president. It's a political position. You are not youth. You understand? So we still have a youth church of people that are maybe 20 to 25 or 26, you young people, because their issue is not our issue. Uh-huh. So the rest of us, the whole church will be Caleb Church, Caleb Fellowship Church. God, we'll soon be 60 and above. Some of you don't know. Time flies. Time flies. In the job, God, we do young things in this church. We are getting old, but we are resisting. So, statistically, it's easier for people to get connected to God when they are younger because they are more open. So you must target to raise your kids right. You must target that. To teach them and show them God. All right? So a few tips. Number one, if you're a married person and you have children or you're going to have children, let your children grow up in an atmosphere of love. What does this mean? You must love your spouse. There are too many people that are married, even Christians, and there's no love in their home. Your wife is dissatisfied, or the husband is dissatisfied, or everybody's unhappy, everybody's complaining. A child should never grow in that atmosphere. A child was not created to grow in that atmosphere. So the first thing you need to do is to love your spouse. Just love your spouse. Be there for them. Let your children see what a real marriage is supposed to look like. Let your children see you hugging your wife or your husband. Let your children see you kissing your wife. They need to see what real love is about. And they learn. Children learn from atmosphere more than they learn from words. They learn from pictures more than they learn from words. Genuine love for your spouse, so not fake one. Because your children are going to be with you a lot of times. You can't fake it for too long. They will know that daddy is inconsiderate. That daddy is the lion of the tribe of this house, of house 8. Daddy is the lion of the tribe of house 8. When you enter, roar, everybody goes under their bed, including mommy. You are never present, always walking. Always, your excuse is you walk. Let them see that you love your spouse. Let them see you use caring words. Don't argue in front of your kids. Don't insult yourselves in front of your kids. Because they will pick the spirit of what is going on, not just the things you're saying. They will pick the spirit of it. Most people that are violent grew up in violent homes. Most women that are okay with being beaten grew up in homes where their mother was being beaten. So for them, it's normal. Whatever your child sees, what is his own normal? You know the way they cook in your house is the normal way. The way they cook every other place is the different way. Your own is the normal. That's how it works. So children that grew up where, the husband will be sounding the wife. Pwah, pwah, pwah. When she grows up to marry and a boy is beating her up, she thinks it's normal. She doesn't know it's abnormal. Don't be arguing in front of your kids. Leave it till later. Don't be insulting each other, idiot, bastard. In front of your children. They will pick it up. Apart from that, don't gossip people in front of your children too. Say, did you see Auntie Nkechi? That woman useless. Your child is there. You are training her in gossip. You are training your child. Don't gossip people where your kids are. If I don't even gossip people at all. But even if you are going to do it, please, don't do it where your children are. Say, can you see this? Don't teach them lying. Say, tell him I'm not around. And you're under the table. Jesus Christ. So they need to see that love going on. They need to see respect for each other. They need to see, affection for each other in that house. Second thing, build their confidence. When you have children, build their confidence. What this means is that learn to pay attention to what they can do well. Every human being has things they can do well. Don't focus so much on the things they don't do well. Yes, you need to correct them and teach them, but don't overblow it. Instead, overblow the things they do well. The thing about confidence is that when you gain confidence in one area, it will affect the areas you're not doing well. That's how human beings were built. God always talks like that. God knows all your errors. He will still be talking to you about your future. Because he knows that if he can boost your confidence enough, you will start seeing that you are more than this thing you are doing. And you change better that way. Wives too need to learn that. Stop focusing on what your husband... Women, you know, women can be petty. Don't get me wrong. Don't be upset with women. But women can be petty. A man can be a superhero. He might have stopped a train from hitting a woman. He might have stopped a building from falling on a woman. He might have worked 24 hours to get the rent done and everything. And she will enter the house and say, he didn't notice I made my hair today. And she's frowning. And the man is still holding the train. And he's wondering what I... As in, I'm holding the train? She'll say, You can't see I've made... I'm not going to say anything. Try and focus on the things he's doing well. He will need, because of his personal pride and not wanting to fall hand, he will start stepping up in the areas he's not doing well by himself. But if he keep focusing on what he's not doing well, he will lose hope. And even the one he's doing well, he will no longer try to do it well. That's how human beings operate. So praise them. Those are your kids. Praise them for the things they do well. If your kids are not very strong academically, what are they strong in? Those days have passed when everybody will make it by book. Forget that thing. It's a lie they told us before. We all know that the people controlling the world today are not the academic people. See, academics is just one area of life. And it's good, but it's not for everybody. See what Mayweather did now, this a few hours ago. Do you know how much he has made by boxing? Most of us, we have area boys here wasting their life. Boxing for free. Free! Boxing for 20 naira, 30 naira. 30 naira tip that a conductor doesn't give them. And you'll come and say, they will box. And how much are they getting? 100 naira. And Mayweather will box for how many minutes? And make $100 million. And you say it's by book. Leave that thing. Some people are structured to study. That's fine. We need rocket scientists. We need people, doctors. We need lawyers. But it's not everybody that will be that. So once you discover my prayer, we're doing vacation Bible school this week. Please, if you have children between the age of 4 and... Where's Shade? Ages of what? 4 and 12. Vacation Bible school this week. Please, register today so that you can be a part of it. Can they see register, Shade? Yes, so register today so that it starts tomorrow by what time? 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. All right? It's part of what they're going to do in that vacation Bible school throughout this week. They'll teach them. They'll find their gifts, their talents, things they can do. That's what life is about today. It's not everybody that will do doctor. Once, I have two daughters. The first one is play, and I encourage her. Because I know life can, there's some parts of life like that. The other one likes to read. So we encourage our mother. No, not me. Encourage, our mother encourage her. But I can't encourage her. I have no encouragement to give her in that one. Her mother will encourage her to read. Me, the one to play, is my calling. Because life is not only about book. Some people will find their destiny in other things outside book. Let's not force everybody. So find out what your children can do. Praise them for it. If your child is the playful one, there's something she can do with that gift. If she's a people person, if she's a natural leader, if she's a natural follower, if she's detailed, whatever it is that their strength, find it and praise them. Let their confidence grow. It's important to grow their confidence. Because once their confidence grows, then they can take the world. And they need to get that confidence from home. So give them confidence. Don't always say, you don't sit in one place. No, some people are not going to sit in one place. That's their calling. Don't say, you must sit down. It doesn't work like that. Don't impose your own personality on them. Maybe you like to sit in one place and they like to run, allow them to run around. Very important, okay? Let me move quickly. Number three, also talking about confidence, they need to get love from you. It's you they should get love from. Those of you that have daughters especially, learn to start telling them I love you. From age zero, be saying, I love you, I love you. Let them hear it enough from you so that no one boy on the road tell them for the first time. It will confuse them. Be telling them, I love you, I love you, I love you. Train your daughters especially to know that they are loved. Because women always like the love of a man. And if they are not getting it from their father, they will look for it from another man outside. And then you know the men outside, their way is not a good way. Some of them are even here in this church. Don't look at your neighbor. So let them get love from you, all right? Be a parent that is present, all right, in your children's life. Attend inter-house sports, do homework with them, do things with them. It will help them. Number three, you have to move quickly. Learn to discipline them. Children actually need discipline. They actually like discipline. Now, they pretend not to like it, but it's a need for them. Sometimes they don't even know it, but it's a genuine need for children to be disciplined. They need boundaries. And unfortunately, guys, the parents of nowadays are too self-indulgent. They don't know anything about boundaries. Many parents of today think their job is to make their child happy. Your job is not to make your child happy. Your job is to train your child. There are two different things. Your job is not to make your children happy. Your job is to train your children. Sometimes you can't do the two together. Children need boundaries. Without boundaries, in fact, human beings need boundaries. Without boundaries, human beings can kill themselves. Human beings can self-destruct. It is boundaries that keep us safe. So please, as a parent, don't be afraid to create boundaries for your children. Let them know they can't watch TV all the time. I know you want to go and do something else, and TV is a quick escape. Let them read a book sometimes. Let them just sleep sometimes. Don't teach them that, you can always watch TV anytime you want, or you can stay awake anytime you want. You can no, you can play with phone anytime. Learn to tell them no. Say no. Don't be afraid of how they feel. Don't say, he's crying. Let him cry. It's better for him to cry now that he's young than for when he's old. If he cries at old age, there'd be a problem. Let him cry now that he's young. Discipline your child, please. Don't sit down and say anything he wants. Oh, some people, anything their child points, they must buy it. For them, it's because they were poor people. So for them, when now that they are grown, you know, they are overcompensating. They think it's a sign of prosperity to give your child anything he wants. Say, he doesn't eat swallow. He doesn't eat. When we're young, is there any such option? Any food they are eating, you eat it. And that helps you when you grow because, you know, you're able to adapt in any community you go to. But the children we are raising today are going to be spoiled human beings. Okay, I don't eat beans. My brother, eat it. You will not die. Because in life, you must learn to do things you don't like to do. It's one of the secrets of greatness in life. So he doesn't eat noodles. He doesn't eat eba. He doesn't eat fish. He doesn't eat... What's that? No human being was created like that. They can eat anything they are trained to eat. Create the boundaries. And if the child needs slapping, maybe not slapping, but flogging or spanking, whatever you want to do, please, it's okay to beat a child. You see, nowadays, people are trying, you see, low self-esteem is bad. And as black people, we are still suffering from that low self-esteem. We still believe anything coming from abroad is better than what's on ground. Meanwhile, what the Bible says is what's coming from above, not from abroad. We still feel inferior to white people. There are many parents here. Their sign of sophistication is that they don't beat their children. You know, don't beat it. It's abuse. It will scar them, my brother. All of us here, they beat us where we're. And we are now sound. And most times, to be honest with you again, don't feel bad. This is what I'm saying. Most times, it is women that propagate these things. And let me tell you why, guys. That's why it's good for a home to have husband and wife. That's why it's good. It's ideal. I know some people are already single moms, and I understand that, but it's ideal. And if you're a single mom, please make sure your son or daughter has access to a male figure that will give credit. See, I wanted to bring a scripture, but I forgot to search the scripture out. There's a scripture that I normally talk about that talks about the father-mother side of God. God is made up of two parts, father and mother. So he broke it into two different people. Him has the both. There's a part of God that is mercy. There's a part of God that is judgment. The two of them go together. But women are the mercy part. Men are the judgment part. So if a child grows up more with the mother's influence, all he will know is mercy. So they will be. If you leave women don't want to beat a child. Women don't want to. Women just want to give a child anything they want. Because women have love. That's what women have. Most women have incredible amount of love. That's why there's an aspect of a child a woman cannot develop. Even when the woman tries to do it, she will now be over forcing. She will be. I will beat it. But it's not the same. It's not the same. There's what a man brings to a child's life that a woman can never bring. If a boy is arrested. He put in police station. His mother will be bringing him food in the station. His father will say, lock him up. He's a fool. So it's women that propagate more this, don't beat him. It's okay. My wife knows. Where if because men don't have patience. And you need to realize in life that it's not everybody that loves you. Because
When, especially when one woman has just one child, she'll be pouring all her affection on that. She can't even drop him in children's church. She wants to hold him during service. She wants to hold him everywhere. So the boy is growing up with an imbalanced way of thinking. He thinks life revolves around him. So by the time he goes out into the world and find out that people have their own life, you are not the center of their life, he won't be able to cope. He won't believe it that people are not paying attention to him. Because in his house, in fact, the mother pays more attention to that child than even the husband that is paying the bills. Men, you know what I'm talking about. Don't raise your hand if your wife is here. Or else your lunch is not sure. Woman will have a child. She will not forget the husband. Everything child. Hey, he's crying. I said, me too, I'm crying. Can I have my own food? He's crying. What concern you? It's okay to beat a child. Don't listen. The people telling you not to beat a child, they are the same people saying a man can sleep with a man. No? You can't take everything they are saying. They are into humanism. What that means is that they are into anything that human beings want. They are into promoting human beings. Don't understand that we can't promote human beings, we promote God. It's God that sets the standard of how human beings should live. It's not human beings that set the standard for the word of God. If you do it by humanism, human beings will tell you anything they like. They'll say, I want to sleep with animals. It's my right. Which is going on now. The next thing, they will pass into law now that it's okay for a human being to marry an animal and to sleep with an animal. Of course, you know that people leave their inheritance to animals. I'm sure you've heard that. There are people that leave their money to their cat. If I catch that kind of cat, say, oh. What do you say? What do you say? Cat. I saw one woman in America, her dog pooped. The dog pooped, she wiped the dog's bum bum. As in, they're wiping dog bum bum for pooping. You can't follow these people. I trust God that Africans will gain some confidence in themselves. There are some things we have, there are some things we don't have right. Things like leadership, governance, structure, systems, we don't even know it at all. Science, others, we don't know those things. But when it comes to cultural issues, human behavior, we have, they don't have that one. Have you seen the way children talk to adults there? They call them their first name. Can you imagine calling your father his first name? Say, hi, Roland. The next thing, next time your eyes will open, is drip. You'll be seeing drip. It's drip you'll be seeing. Because it's not only your father that will beat you, neighbors will join. You'll just be seeing drip run into your vein. That's when you wake up. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. Give custom to whom custom is due. Give respect to whom respect is due. So that's not a scriptural principle. They don't have those aspects. I've seen children call their mother the B word. Their own mother. And it's on TV, you can see it's available. They call their mother the B word. They insult their parents. So it's because of lack of beating. It's because of lack of beating. Starting can't happen here. When you say it, your mother doesn't have to answer you. Because you even see where the slap is coming from. You don't even know. Somebody that is not even in the room, in hand, go enter, slap you. The hand will go back like cartoon. You don't even know who slapped you. You wouldn't know who slapped you. Please follow the word of God. Follow the word of God. Don't take my opinion for it. Don't take my opinion for it. Let me read you two or three scriptures quickly before I close on this beaten child. We'll run through it. Yes, so because I'm not telling you my opinion. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the person that created us and his principle here in the world. Proverbs 13:24. Quickly, DJ, let's run through it. Proverbs 13:24. DJ, try and be fast. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. You see, say, if you spare the rod, you actually hate your son. That's not love. Allowing your child to do everything he wants to do is not love. See, it's not everything you allow your children to watch. Hey, guys, censor some of the things they watch. There are some channels that is not their age to watch. Don't hide behind. Don't let TV do your job of training your children. It's not everything they can watch. Censor the age. Don't let them start watching things that have to do with boyfriend and girlfriend when they are still under a certain age. You just confuse them. That's why even in civilized places, there's an age they don't allow you to drive a car because they believe you're not mature enough to handle it. So it's not any different than what they watch any program. No. There's some programs that are safe, that they can understand at their level. Today, this morning, you know, they were showing the Mayweather and McGregor fight, the boxing fight. My son of two years old, he was watching the fight. And right there, my wife even videoed it. He came to punch me. He came to punch me. Just 2 minutes of watching Mayweather. He came to punch me. And I said, you don't know me. You don't know me. My wife has a video. I show him who he be. You're wrong. Go meet your mama. No, you don't know who I be. Ah. When I give him one, he wrong. Go meet your mama. But you see, but just watching it inspired him to start, you know, boxing. It's good. He should not box people. But if he's strong, he should go out to boxing. There's money in anything now. Leave all these things. Nobody will be doctor. Some will be the people that send people to doctor. You go there. I don't have a problem. Proverbs 22, verse 13 and 14. Quickly, I have to go. Proverbs 22, 13 and 14. DJ, quickly. It says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou what? Beatest him with the rod, he will not die. Don't listen to the white people telling you that he will die. He won't die. Don't listen to psychologists or whoever that's telling you that the guy will die. They will not die. That's what humanists try to say. Let them do anything. They will not sleep with animals. They can sleep with men. Can sleep with men. It's okay. It's not okay. It can't be okay. The Bible says it's not okay. And God existed before they came. And God will still be here when they are gone. Please, don't fall into that trap of fake sophistication. That's not what makes you civilized, that you don't discipline people. The same people that say don't beat people, hope you know that they also kill people when they commit offense. You know there's death penalty in most places in America. There's death penalty there. They'll put you on an electric chair. You didn't beat him when he was a child. So he's misbehaving now as an adult. You want to kill him. How does that make sense? Beat him now that he's a child, John. Yes, now the same people telling you, don't beat the child. When he's a grown man and he misbehaves, they shoot him, they kill him. So what are we saying? What are we trying to defend? So you know correction is okay. So you know discipline is okay, but you can't beat a child. You beat him, you will not abuse him, you will not kill him, of course. There's people that beat him with anger and kill. That's what I'm saying. You beat properly. So you lie down. Are you okay? Is he paining you? Sorry. Beat him. Wait. He said, if thou beatest him, okay, go back to the one I already did. I've not finished. 13. Go back to 13. He said, we told no question of child, if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Next verse, he says, thou shalt beat him what? With the rod. And shall do what? Deliver his soul from hell. You deliver him from hell. You're actually going to help his soul. Last one. 29:15. That'll be the last one. Quickly. 29:15. He said, the rod and reproof give what? Do you see? You know, what psychology says that only do reproof. Reproof means talk to the child. That's what white people think. They think, just talk to him. But that's not the Bible. The Bible says, yes, you need to talk to him. But they said they both go together. The rod and reproof, they are partners. The rod helps his ear to open for reproof. They go together. They go together. So the rod and reproof give what? Wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. So you need to beat your child. It's okay to beat the men. You need to take the responsibility. If your wife is not, if women can be so soft. Oh, you know, it's crying. You need to take responsibility. Knock. There are some knock that can save a destiny. The knock of life. Knock and the ear shall be open.
I have to close by saying this. I've taken over the time. Then as fathers in the house or as parents, please always bless your children. It's important to bless them. Always speak a word over their life. Pray for them. In fact, we have books we're going to give out. How are we giving it out? Are they going to share it in church here? Okay, information desk. We have books here. There's a devotional book here for every parent. If you're a parent here, you can pick up this book. If you are not a parent, if you have a parent that is close to you, you can probably be. It's free of charge. You are giving it out free of charge to everybody in church. I hope you have enough copies. It's free of charge. So please, if you're a parent here, pick it up. It's a prayer book. Basic prayers you can pray with your child. Because it's not just you praying for them. You need to pray with them. Because you're training them. Let them also learn how to pray. You need to pray with them. So there's a guide here for it. It's a devotional. It's free. So make sure you pick it up. Every parent, please. At the information desk. All right? Pray with your children. Pray with them. Hallelujah. All right? So, and for those of you that you don't just have kids, God expects you to also stand in the gap for your family members to get born again. Joshua said, I am my house. We shall serve the Lord. So you have the spiritual jurisdiction to stand in the gap for every member of your family. No member of your family should go to hell on your watch. In Acts chapter 16, he said, that jailkeeper, he and his house too. Say, believe and you and your house shall be saved. So you have, there's a spiritual jurisdiction to stand in the gap for your family. Can we take 1 minute as our heads are bowed to pray for members of our families that are not born again? Can you just take 1 minute to pray? That Father, I stand in the gap. The Bible says, I and my house shall be saved. The Bible said, when that man believed, he and his house got saved. So I'm standing in the gap for every member of my family, extended or nuclear or whatever it is, wherever they are. Father, let them come into the knowledge of Christ. I break any yoke of blindness, anything stopping them from coming to the knowledge of Christ. I break it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We stand in the gap. We decree that they will come into the knowledge of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Our fathers, our mothers, our brothers, our sisters, even our children, anyone connected or related to us, Lord, we have spiritual jurisdiction to ask for their salvation. Thank you, because they will get saved. They will not go to hell. They will not go to hell. We stand in the gap, oh God. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Please, as all heads.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.